There's this couple had a big fight, and so I tried to figure all this out, and so there was a couple of couples involved in this, so I'm just going to go ahead and tell you what happened. This guy worked for a service technician. He was a service technician for a large exterminating company. One of the rules of the company was that he was to confirm each appointment by the phone the night before service call to that household. One evening, he made such a call. When a man answered the phone, he said, "Hi, this is Gary from A to Z Pest Control Company. Your wife phoned us." There was a long silence. Then my husband heard the man on the other end say, "Honey, is for you. Someone wants to talk to you about your relatives." And that's when the fight broke out. I know, that was slack. Thank you. At least I know I don't have to worry about it. I know that when they're slack, y'all let me know. All the time. Philippians chapter 2. I'm so glad God's word didn't slack. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if there any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels in mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind." That's kind of hard to do, being of one accord and of one mind, meaning being together. Talked about it earlier today, being here but not being here. Being together. There's a lot of families that are together, but they're not together. There's a lot of families that they are in the same room, but they're not in the same room. It's crazy when you're sitting in a room and you ask a question and the person across the room texts the answer to you. Amen? It's crazy when they won't even, actually, don't even want to be in the room with you. Just text me when you need me, and I'll get back to you when I can. That's not being all together. So, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others." I'm just going to thought, I got to put this in there. "Let this mind or this attitude be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took unto him the form of a servant, and he was made in the likeness of men." All right. We're going to talk again on sandpaper people, the abrasive specialist in your life. Anybody got an abrasive specialist in your life? Do not point. Okay? Just you can say, "Okay, yeah, I got one." All right? So let's pray. Father, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We know, God, that you are alive and well on the throne. Father, we know, God, that you got this. We know, God, that there's nothing in our path, Lord, that you haven't already seen. And if it was necessary, you cleared the path. And if it was necessary, you left the path the way it was so that it would clear us. I ask you right now, Father, to touch in a very powerful way. Let this day be a day that brings glory and honor to you and edifies your body. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. All right. Let's go ahead. We got a few slides that brings it all together again. How many people that you know reminds you of this? When they start talking or when they start working with you, it's like having fingernails down a chalkboard. Have you ever had anybody like that? Y'all go ahead. Go ahead. It's okay. Yeah. I've had them. Amen. We've all had them in our past. We've had them in our present. And I promise you, you're going to have even more in your future. And if God is trying to teach you something, and he's trying to teach you with that sandpaper person who is actually rubbing the rough edges off of you through God's hand, if you're not allowing that to happen, if you keep stepping away from the grinding wheel, God's going to keep putting those people in your life until you learn how to handle them. Okay, that's a lesson that I had to learn the hard way, but once I learned it, it was so much better. So again, the sandpaper people, abrasive specialists. All of us can be grumpy, and all of us can be difficult to be with. From, you know, everybody, how many here never get grumpy? How many here has never been hard to deal with? It's amazing. No hands are going up. Amen. Oh, there was one hand go up. Okay, then we're going to have a sin about storytelling in just a minute. All right. We all encounter folks who behave in the same way or worse. And when you deal with difficult people, and you will, here's the following tips. Number one, I love it. Y'all read this. Don't mistake the fake smile in the professional body language. I'd punch you in the throat if I knew I wouldn't lose my job. yeah. anybody work with somebody who think things would be a whole lot better if you could just go, amen. All right. Realize this, difficult people are a part of your life. You cannot always avoid them. And if you don't deal with them correctly, they're going to sap your energy. They're just going to keep taking from you. They will weigh you down. And if you don't deal with it correctly, if you deal with it correctly, both of you wound up being bettered. So if you do it right, not only do you help yourself, you help them. Now, let's just go a little bit further here. This is where we stopped from last week, and we're going to stop it here from last week, and we're going to look at that. It's me. Hi, I'm the problem. It's me. How often do you say that? How often do you admit that? How often can you see that? Ready? First, make sure you're not the one being difficult. Sometimes it's you. I'll just let that one set for a minute. If you're having a problem with one person, it's probably them, or mainly them. But if you're having a problem with everybody you know, all right? None of that, but don't try to change the other person. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. There was a lady who was at the sink washing dishes, and she said, have you noticed how dirty our neighbor's laundry is? He goes, no, I don't really pay attention to it. She says, every day I go to wash the dishes, and she's always putting laundry out. And I've noticed that every day, it's dirty. Matter of fact, I've noticed in the last week or two, it's gotten even dirtier. Do you think she knows that she's hanging out dirty laundry? Do you think she knows that it's getting dirtier? You think we could go talk to her? He says, well, I tell you what, let me handle it. And he goes outside and takes some spray and sprays on the window and cleans the window and says, now look. And it says, it's amazing how her laundry got clean again. Sometimes we're looking at others' dirty laundry when it's actually us. This is the way we see things. So make sure you're not the problem. And if you aren't, make sure you don't try to change the other person, because only God can do that. You pray for God to change them. And if you happen to be part of the change agent, then thank you, God, and let me do it right, because it's like handling nitrous. Nitrous oxide. Nitrous oxide is a whole lot different. Nitroglycerin. You got to be careful how you handle people. So, showing kindness to sandpaper people. Number one, don't lecture. Nobody likes to be lectured. I don't. Do you? You like somebody getting in your face and pointing at you and telling you how it's going to be and blah, 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 blah. No. No. Matter of fact, lectures can turn into nagging. And nagging builds walls instead of bridges. Have you ever had somebody nag you? Again and again and again. What do you normally do? You either avoid them or you don't even hear them anymore. They're there talking. You don't hear a thing they're saying. Because when it turns into nagging, now it's no longer helpful for you or for them. It makes you mad and makes them shut down. So, since nagging usually creates more problems than it solves, I got a little solution for you. Save your breath. You got a problem with somebody? Watch this. Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Proverbs 21:9. Better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than on a house shared with a contentious woman. And I got, or man. And what it speaks of is you're on a housetop on the corner, and they're so aggravating to you, you don't know whether to hold on to keep from falling over or just go ahead and fall over and say, thank you, God. Don't lecture. It doesn't work. I love this. I got to get down to see this because I'm going to talk to you for a minute. You may find yourself up here. If you find yourself, don't say anything. Just take notes. The know-it-alls. They're arrogant and usually have an opinion. It's too far in there. Opinion for every issue. And when they're wrong, they get on the defensive. Have you ever known anybody like that? Are you like that? You know everything about everything. And if somebody says you're wrong, you get upset. The know-it-alls. There's a difference in a know-it-all and a go-to person. A go-to person is somebody that knows a little bit about everything, and they know how to give you the answers. Now, people usually go to the go-to people. People go to and go to them and ask their opinion. But the know-it-alls, people kind of stay back from the know-it-alls. Then there's the passives. These people never offer ideas or let you know where they stand. Don't matter. How many like to hear this? You're talking to somebody and they go, it is what it is. You'll never hear me say that. It is what it is. It is what it is. It is what it is. That's a fancy way of saying, I'm through talking about it. That's also a passive answer. It is what it is. Very passive answer. Then there's the dictators. They bully and intimidate. They're constantly demanding and brutally critical. Then there's the yes people. They agree to any commitment, yet rarely deliver. You can't trust them to follow through on anything. Then the no people. They're quick to point out why something won't work. What's worse, they're inflexible. And then there's the gripers. Is everything all right? Is everything all right with them? They prefer complaining to finding solutions. They just want to gripe about everything. If you recognize these people, if you're working with these people, make sure that you're not one of them. Make sure that you keep yourself, you ask God for help to keep from being like that, because you can't get anything done. If you got a meeting of seven people and six of them are these people, you'll never get anything accomplished. You got to have go-to people. They're the ones who get things done. So, here it goes. Do not protect people from their consequences. Sometimes your life consists of clean up on aisle three. You're always cleaning up behind somebody. Clean up on aisle three. Somebody just stuck their foot in the mouth. Clean up on aisle three. Somebody just lost their temper. Clean up on aisle three. Sometimes you do more harm than good by always trying to clean up. So when you protect other people from their consequences, you're doing them a disservice, and you become an enabler. That person will keep putting their foot in their mouth. That person will keep being mean to other people. That person will keep being what you see up there, those six different personality types. Most people don't learn new behaviors until the old behavior stops working. Think about that. Most people don't learn new stuff until the old stuff stops working. Hebrews chapter 12, 5 and 6, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For the Lord who he loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. And finally, I love this. Recognize when you're dealing with a high drama person so you don't get caught up in their show. How many have ever been in one of those? You're around high drama people. Sometimes it says the high drama mama. No, sometimes it's the high drama papa. You recognize when you're dealing with a high drama person so you don't get caught up in their show. Two wrongs don't make a right, but three less do make a right turn. Don't allow yourself to be caught up in the other person's emotional outburst. One of the worst things you can do when somebody gets emotional is to get emotional with them. It doesn't help a thing. I remember at Fountain, those guys will be fighting, or I'll be trying to find out what a problem is, and they're thinking that I'm trying to get them fired. I'm not trying to get them fired. I'm trying to keep their job for them. And if they'll just help me, I'll help them keep their job because we'll fix the problem. And they're going at it, and they're blaming somebody else, and they're over there having a throwdown. And so, or I'd come up on sometimes, they're just fighting, and I just stand there. And they finally stop and look at me, and I'll go, I've done this hundreds of times. I'll just go, when y'all calm down, when you stop, we'll fix this. But until you calm down, we can't fix a thing. You're making it worse. So I'll just stay right here. I got plenty of time. You tell me when y'all decide. And usually that will calm them right on down. If someone's ranting or worse, you have the right to get up and leave. I stopped at the Dollar Tree yesterday. And when I stopped at the Dollar Tree, the lady behind the counter was talking about a guy who had been, for lack of a better term, stalking her. And in the checkout line the other day, he reached over and smelt her hair without her permission. And then he touched her. And she was telling another guy, and he says, I don't know what to tell you to do. She says, well, I don't want to cause trouble. And so when I got up there, I was wearing my chaplain hat too, so I walked up to her and I said, I got some news for you. She said, what? I said, from here on out, I want you to remember this. She said, what? I said, zero tolerance. Zero. Not three strikes and you're out. Zero tolerance. And she said, well, what about if I said, no, you're not listening. Zero tolerance. He said, but what if I said, don't worry about that. Zero. She said, but even follow me to my house the other day. I said, zero tolerance. And he said, what do I do if he reaches over the counter and touches me again and smells my hair? I said, pick up something that you find in there and clock him. So I might lose my job. I said, no, you won't. But I said, you know how many young girls are looking for young girls right now on the news all the time, looking for young girls who thought it was okay to give them two and three and four chances, and now they're dead. So I told her again, before I left, I said, zero. Zero. Tolerance. Now let's break her down and be lighter stuff. Now you just around somebody and they're ranting and they're raging and they just get, if all you do is stir it up, remember, anywhere you go, you've heard me say it before, you carry two buckets with you. You carry a bucket of gas and a bucket of water. And if they're ranting and raving and you don't stay calm, you're going to wind up throwing gas on their fire and it's going to make it worse. But if you find a way to throw water, it will calm down. So you stay calm. Emotions are highly contagious. You can become angry too and not even know why you're angry because they're angry and they're ranting and raving. You can become angry too. You can get mad at somebody that you have no idea exactly what the truth is, but you've heard them and now you're all over the place. Make a conscious effort to remain calm. Proverbs 22, 24 to 25. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. Remember, don't get caught up. Allow God to work with them. Back up and give God room to work, and don't allow yourself to be caught up in the same thing that they're in. And then finally, and Brandon, get ready to play something. Working with people is difficult, especially if they're hard to get along with, but it's not impossible. Note to self. Today, so I can have peace, I will pray for the difficult people, the sandpaper people, in situations I'm dealing with. I will not repeatedly rehash everything in my head. I may have to pray 50 times, but that's better than time spent and more productive than just dwelling on whatever it is that's driving me crazy. Wow. I have guys in the heroin unit all the time. When they get out, say, I'm going to stay busy. I have people all the time that are going through grief, and they'll go, I'm just trying to stay busy. Or people that are having addiction problems, and I'm trying to work with them, and they're going, and they're saying, I'm just trying to stay busy, and I'm having a hard time with that. And I'll say, I'm going to give you a little secret here. And I tell the heroin guys this. I tell people all the time outside the church, stop trying to be busy. Stop it. Stop it. Being busy can get you in trouble. You try to be productive. Being busy is not productive necessarily, but being productive gets your mind engaged, and God can use you in some very powerful ways. Turn your rage and turn your crazy into productivity, and watch what God will do. Everybody stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We've all got difficult people in our lives. We've all got people that if we could, we wouldn't deal with them, but we can't. But because they're in our family. They're in our immediate family. They're on our job. They're our boss. We're their boss. Difficult people are everywhere. Sandpaper people are everywhere. Usually when I'm dealing with a sandpaper person, before I lose my cool, I'll pray and I'll say, God, if you're teaching me a lesson, if you're rounding off my rough edges with this sandpaper person, help me to be still long enough for you to finish the work. And sometimes God will send a sandpaper person that'll be tough grit, and then he'll follow it with a fine grit person. And you're thinking, God, I just got through one, now I got another one. Well, God's just honing it in. Trust him. You be the light in their darkness. You be the one, number one, that does not react the way they're expecting you to react. And maybe even they're trying to get you to react. Nope, don't react. Number two, you ask God to help you to be a light in their life. And number three, you show them how to act and how to react. And it's amazing, amazing what'll happen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Number one, I say it all the time, but I can't say it enough. If there's somebody here and you know that you and God aren't on the same page. That there's a lot of deficiencies and you need God to help you with them. You're needing to get back in there strong with God with nobody looking around, every eye closed. Would you put that hand up and say, pray for me, Pastor? There is a lot of things in my life I need to clear out. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, bless them, bless them. Maybe you're here and you got some sandpaper people in your life. And you may have even thought God was punishing you. Nah, He's not punishing you. He's refining you. And maybe you're here and you are the sandpaper person. Either way about it, you're dealing with some sandpaper in your life. Nobody looking, every head bowed, every eye closed. But you put that hand up and say, pray for me, Pastor, because I'm dealing with some sandpaper. And it is so, so hard. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, bless them, bless them. God's got you. 100% God's got you. Let's pray together. Father, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace and your mercy. And I thank you for the sandpaper people that you put in my life. Help me to be still long enough for you to do your work. And I thank you for it, loving me enough to work on me. I ask you right now to help me show others how to do it. And I thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, this is going to be a productive week. I rededicate myself and my life to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, I'm going to say the Lord's Prayer. When we get them, ask Brother Wayne to dismiss us in prayer. Ready? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation.